Roger Bowman.
Okay, go for it.
Old Roger.
Thessalonians first. 1 Thessalonians verse 7.
Verse 6, you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost.
Received is an interesting word there. I don't know if we talked about it. No, never mind. We've already talked about it. It means just to apprehend. So that you were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. Now, essentially, Macedonia and Achaia are Greece, what we know as Greece today, but anyway. But the interesting word is examples. And it's in the Greek word typos, T-Y-P-O-S. And it's a figure formed by a blow or impression. So that if you had a seal and you hit a hammer to knock the seal in to make the impression. And so that is what he's saying. They were types or the expression or impression of Christ, which is really an interesting word because of a lot of other examples. So typos means a figure formed by a blow or impression. It means a type, a pattern, an example to be imitated. But let's look at what this means. And go to 1 Timothy. Go to 1 Timothy first. Just to the left a few pages. Our right, I mean, sorry, my other left.
To the right.
Your other left.
Chapter 1, verse 15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the chief. Albeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to eternal life. And again, it's interesting that Paul used typos here as for pattern, but it's not just typos, it's hupotypos. So that it means essentially that the type has become the thing. I mean, Hooper typos means abundantly of the type, or so.
And again, let's
hear that now with you knowing what that means. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Albeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long-suffering for a pattern, a hupotypos, to them which should hereafter believe on him to eternal life. Now this is why everything that I talk about in regard to the Old Testament and the offerings and the temple and the laws are all a pattern or a type. And Israel itself was a pattern or a type. Let's go to 1 Corinthians, chapter 10. Do you see the importance of that word?
Yeah, it really clarifies the two positions, the architect's model and the real life.
Amen.
The model only confirms.
Okay, chapter 10. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant. Do you notice how often Paul says that?
Don't be ignorant.
Don't be ignorant. But you say it with a headhunter's accent.
With the headhunter.
What chapter are we in?
Oh, that's something I'm really worried about. That and cream. She gave me such a hard time because I put cream in my chocolate cake last night.
So you dumped it on top of it?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm surprised you didn't put peanut butter on top of it.
Well, it's like whipped cream.
Or really just butter.
Butter.
But it wasn't whipped.
No, you done it.
Now that's ignorant.
Ronnie got it.
Ronnie's diabetic.
I know, but he was lusting after my... He got some anyway, but he didn't put cream
what
on
did
it.
I get?
Chocolate
oh,
cake.
He's like, what did you accuse me of?
Oh. That's pro-diabetic white cake.
Yeah.
All right. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual food, and did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. So the point of this is the purpose of the Old Testament in terms of it's both a type and an antitype. If we follow the nation of Israel, we'll see they screwed up at every juncture. And they did it so that you wouldn't have to. You understand? That you could see it instead of by experience, you could understand it and know it by empathy. Everybody understand this?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the purpose of the Old Testament. In Christ, he is in everything, the law, the prophets, I mean the law, the writings, the sacrifices, everything was a type, a pattern of Jesus. Remember that Moses said, build all things according to the pattern showed unto me on the mount. And the pattern that he saw was the heavenly temple and the heavenly things. And then they came down and built it. But he built the model of that which is to come. And when Christ came, the model lost its significance. All right, so let's go to one more. Hebrews 8. Verse 1. Now of these things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such a high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle which the Lord pitched and not man. For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices, wherefore it is of necessity that this man have somewhat also to offer. For if he were on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law, who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For see, saith he, thou make all things according to the pattern showed thee on the mount. So again, the word example is that, boom, that type. Now, what is a Pharisee? A, And why didn't the Pharisees understand the mystery of Christ when he was set evidently before them? And they didn't understand and they didn't know that he was Messiah. And the reason is they literalized the parable. They made the parable the thing instead of what the parable was pointing to. Now, that's what modern Christians do. They still make the pattern the thing. And so that's why we get the situations where people, you know, they take parts of Scripture and then they can make themselves believe they are sinless. Or they can, you know, you can prove anything.
It's split personality, almost.
Yeah. It's the duality. The duality is an ancient Persian heresy that said there, you know, that there was these two gods fighting against each other, the good God and the bad God. And it was, and it's just goofy. Oh, Satan, the only enemy on the face of the earth of the mystery of God is your mind. So your mind has to be transformed so that you don't be a Pharisee any longer. What?
Well, I mean, it's everything's tying together here this morning from the start to...
All right. All right, back to...
It's like the angel of light, the Pharisee.
So that you were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia, for from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. Sounded is ectio, and it's a word that's applied to, I think I said yesterday, the roaring of the sea, or to the sound of thunder moving over. Or the rumbling that you hear at an earthquake.
That was the Pentecost sound.
Right. It was the Pentecost sound was a great mighty wind, but without wind. Okay. And so this sounding, but now he's saying that this small group of new believers in Thessalonica, or now Saloniki, their faith caused the mystery of God to be sounded out in every place. This is wild. So, every place is in the Greek pas topas, and it means in every place to everyone. Let's go look at some of these. Well, no. It means your faith is. Wait a minute. In every place, your faith to Godward is spread abroad. Okay, faith is. Oh God. Faith is not the commodity to get stuff like we hear it today. Faith is the Greek word. Greek word pistis, P-I-S-T-I-S, and it means 100% trust, reliance. And then the reason, and what sanctification means, is that trust and reliance becomes sure, becomes tested, becomes by every possible situation that you could be in, it's tested. And the metaphor for that test is that no matter what happens, you remain in faith, in joy, on the mercy seat. Everybody understand that? Okay, let's go to go to first to Romans 1.
I don't know why I'm thinking this, but it's the priest who sticks his hand in the flower, pulls it out, and nothing sticks to it.
Right.
Faith. There's no
in verse 8, First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. I mean, that's a big statement. Either Paul was speaking evangelically or he knew what he was talking about. Something transpires, something mysterious that's beyond our consciousness takes place when faith is manifest. When total and complete emptiness before God, it alters the universe. So you're not just some little poor victim of the universe running around trying to do stuff, trying to be successfully as an independent. You are an intimate, personal, important member of this mystery of the Bride of Christ. And your emptiness, your faith, is the only reason time and space exists. Well, you can be standing on the edges and looking and still evaluating. I don't care, that's fine. But you must know that this isn't a small philosophy class where you're going to learn something. This is a place where every one of your ideas and opinions has to be smashed. Every one of your value systems has to be crushed so that you can stand empty before God in total trust and confidence only on Him, giving no breath to anything that changes with time or place. Amen? And sometimes I get the, well, I'm just a person. I'm just sort of around here, and I just happen to be here, and you know, I don't, what am I going to do with my life? And, oh, that's just makes me puke.
I just saw another little step forward in this whole picture for me. If you have faith, you will step out willing to be destroyed, crushed, whatever. And in fact, you will be crushed and destroyed so that you can be a part of the bride.
Right. Without, you have to be crushed like the grapes,
yeah,
so that only the wine remains.
Yeah.
Or the wheat has to be smashed and become bread to feed the world.
Yeah, that's success.
Right.
Most people think, well, if I step out, I'll do it, but I hope I don't get crushed. Well, no, you want to be crushed.
That's it. If you don't fall on the stone that the builders rejected, then the stone will fall on you. All right. Colossians. No, that's Romans. We're in Romans. Now go to Romans 10. This stuff excites me. And I can't get the words out right sometimes. What'd you say? Ronnie, shut up.
I can never say that good.
That's because Ronnie is my favorite.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I knew that.
Where did we go?
Romans 10.
Verse 14, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then, verse 14, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily. Their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. Now, what sound?
Nails on a chalkboard.
Hmm?
Nails on a chalkboard.
The sound, the fruit of the sound is the divine impulse within all men. The seed, the sperm of God. And except that kernel of wheat or grain falls into the ground and dies, it abides alone, trying to be a better grain of wheat. Ain't going to happen. You're just going to rot. What?
That was funny to hear you say, ain't going to happen.
All right, let's go to Colossians. No, let's go to 2 Corinthians first. Second Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 14. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. And again, we're back to this every place. Now, don't put your definition of triumph on this scripture, because then you will believe in the prosperity gospel. God always causes us to triumph in Christ. And maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ, in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one we are the savor of death unto death. To the other, the savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? Now, I can promise you, just from my own experience, that this is true. There's nobody neutral. You're either a savor of life unto life or death unto death. If you're neutral, then you're modifying, you're being different in every place you go. What? You're doing it again.
Yeah.
You look like you've been convicted of something.
Well, yeah, that's a pretty good perception. I felt conflicted yesterday and acting one way toward my customers and another way toward my son.
Well, that's sick. It's not just sick, it's sin.
Well, I knew it when I was doing it.
Who got better treatment?
My customer.
Bunch of money.
For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. Now the word corrupt there is a technical word. It's the same word as used for deceit elsewhere. It means to add water to the wine. For the purposes of commerce.
What's commerce? It's
buying and selling, getting results.
You can sell more watered down wine. They do it to milk in India.
Yeah.
Do they really?
Yes.
So adding water to the wine, think of that. Every time you please men, or every time that you respond in such a way in order to get a result, then you're adding water to the wine. And you're corrupting the word of God. Not just the word of God that you speak, the word of God that you should be. Understand? What?
Yes.
All right. That's probably enough for today. What?
He's really.
Well, when you get excited, you go to like plus five, and I'm loud, but you yell, which is good.
Nothing wrong with that. Don't change. I'm pretty sure you won't.
I'm pretty sure you won't.
But a half an hour of yelling is pretty good.
You're pretty done with that.
But yeah. Anybody.
No, I don't think Oli yells. He passionately exhorts.
I don't know what those words mean, but.
Check your Bible.
Don't take this stuff lightly. It's either true, and it should be your life, or you're an idiot for being here.
That's a big ass
amen. That you're an idiot for being here?
I believe that as well.
I believe both of those statements.
I still am an idiot for being here.
All righty, any other response, John? You've been sitting over there silent.
Not true, but I wholeheartedly agree. I was thinking of that some people might, instead of trying to please men, might try and, you know, it's like, what men are you trying to please? You know, I mean, it's whenever you enter your head into what's going on, then you pollute it. So whether you're, you know, who knows what you're trying to do? You could be doing some weird religious thing, trying to be more aggressive in your talking or something. But whenever you enter into it, that's watering it down. So you're trying to please somebody somewhere. You know, I was just thinking of different scenarios that, you know, it's just, you know, nonstop. If you're in the picture, it's going to screw it up.
Remember that on the Feast of Tabernacles, for the 7 days, they pour wine into one side of the altar and water into the other side. And on one of the greatest riots, it was a riot inside the temple, because a particular, I think it was the Sadducees, anyway, whoever it was, I can't remember, but they spilled the wine, or they poured the wine on the ground, or one of the, they polluted it. They did something wrong, or else on the 8th day maybe they put water in, something like that. But there was a riot, and people were killed inside the temple because it was so odious that they were essentially adding water to the wine.
Yeah. And that picture was so important. It meant everything.
Yeah. But that's why the whole idea of being a man pleaser or a man infuriator, it doesn't matter what you're, as John said, if you're trying to do anything, then you've polluted it. You've added water to the wine. Amen? Think on these things. Can we meet? Just for a few minutes, huh? You want to call Judy?
Yeah, I'll call her.
Take a big guy.
Pretty much within the next 10, 15 minutes.
As soon as you can.
All right, I'm going to tell you.
8:15?
Yeah, 8:15.
Is that good for you?
Yeah. Something wrong with your phone.
Gerald, what's going on with that phone?
I had this.
Gerald.
Jerry.
Yeah.
Jerry
Buckner.
Jerry Buckner.
Jerry.
Why did Gerald sound so kind of scholarly? Distinguished.
No, but Jerry makes it so kind of goofy.
Because he loves
it.
Did you give him an idea?
Jerry Roger.
Jerry Roger.
Jerry. Yes, from Santa Rosa.
Sometime this morning. But she knows after 9.
Every time I knew I was in trouble, so my mother said, Oli Anthony.
Right where he's sitting. Because it makes a real interesting study.
I heard that a couple times a day.
I heard it.
But I'll be back this time.
Sure. It's only, you know, if you're.
My dad wouldn't say anything. He'd just grab a.
Whoever happens to be here.
Oli, you're still recording.
Grab him in when the light.